Hello and welcome to Humans Exhaust Me, a show caused by our current world and everything in it. I'm Biz Paul, I'm here in the UK, and I'm joined, she's still in Utah, and yes. I feel like every week now I give an instructor where she is. It's Felicia Jones.
Hey Paul, I'm moving around Utah, so I think we're going to be here about a month and a half, but now we are in like the desert part of Utah, so it's... Yeah, and I'll be here for a few weeks, but the scenery does change. So if you're keeping up, I am in Long Rock Beach in the Glen Canyon Recreational Area in Utah. And for those of you who are Planet of the Apes fans, if you've ever watched Planet of the Apes, it was made all down here. So all this red rock and weird little landscape. It does look a little otherworldly down here, but it's pretty cool. Where are you, Paul?
Looks lovely from the pictures. Where am I? I'm still... Where I always am, in rainy old Britain, although we did have some sunshine today. Ooh. And if you're watching the video on YouTube, which by now you really should because there's lots of people watch it, I'm looking a bit windswept, and yes. Felicia decided that she felt it necessary to point that out.
It's not
the true
love.
Friend that she is.
It's not a love, because I mean, do you want me to be that friend that lets you walk around with spinach in your teeth the whole time?
No.
Okay.
No.
See?
I totally want you to tell me about the spinach or the bogey hanging out my nose.
But it's the end of the day
one
for
thing
you.
I've...
So...
It is the end of the day. And, I do feel like it's the end of the day. One thing that I was going to say was that having a moustache, there is a higher propensity to have things in it. Ooh. Like if you're having a drink of like a latte or something like that, cappuccino and there's some froth, you know... You need people to look out for you and
you
tell you.
Just use a straw?
No.
Why?
Can't use a straw for a coffee.
That's what you do, like for the women who wear lipstick and don't want it to go away. You get a straw.
Yeah, but they're all getting, those people who use straws, they're all getting like lines on their top lip, like the wrinkles.
Get better.
Like smoker's wrinkles.
Get better cream. That's all.
Did you know that someone, I'm going to assume it's a Gen Z person, has invented a straw where you don't purse your lips? It's a straw that you sort of, it's sideways like this. Sorry, folks, if you're just listening. Sideways like this. And you suck it sideways. So there's a hole at the top. And then it kind of goes up and round. So you don't have to purse your lips. People are very clever. They think of everything.
Yeah, they do. That means we don't have that much time on our hands to do it. Right.
Well, people don't. All right. Let's talk about what's going on in the world.
And everything in it.
I'm seeing, well, and everything in it. Yeah, there's a lot. There's always a lot going on.
There's a lot.
I did see the Correspondents' Dinner, or clips from the Correspondents' Dinner, the White House Correspondents' Dinner this week. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I think Biden or his scriptwriters are funny.
I don't watch that stuff. So
you haven't seen it.
No.
Oh, there's some roasts. There's some good roasts of Donald.
Last year, my friend from high school friend, he was the host. So that would probably be the only time I would watch it. So no, that's not something I typically watch. I'll see whatever clips come out and I haven't been really paying attention. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm like a downer, aren't I?
It's okay. It's okay. Go and watch it. Go and watch the clips because the host of Saturday Night Live, he was the host of the White House Correspondents' Dinner. I don't know what his name is. I just recognize him as one of the two people that sits at the desk and
puts
the pieces to camera. What's his name?
The white guy?
Yes, the white guy.
Okay, that guy. Scarlett Johansson's husband, so that's all you need to know.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Oh, okay. Didn't know that.
Colin.
Didn't know that.
Colin something. He's funny. He's funny, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's funny, but... I would assume that the presidential election has, up until this point, been, well, I'll say up until this point, obviously 2016 and 2020 weren't either. But this seems to me to be the contest where it's got so personal that it's kind of laughable, really.
Yeah, it's like old people.
It's not very professional on either side.
It's old people being petty. And old people being petty is kind of like... Okay, they're going to slip up and say something so offensive. I don't know. We'll see where it goes. We were actually talking about this the other day and how people are saying, you know, Joe is old and things like that. And, you know, my in-laws, they say this kind of stuff too. And I'm just like, okay, I get it. We're going to talk about his age. I said, but we're walking on a very thin line of ageism here. And if we keep going after it, we're basically saying late 70s and 80 year olds are just senile. And, you know, for all these older people that are talking about them, it's like, you do know who's taking care of you when you go to the hospital, just FYI. Like, or when you go to the bank and you're frustrated. So just, you know, probably want to be very careful how you are hating on people. But yeah, this election season is going to be kind of interesting.
Do you know what? Like, that is why I am quite careful about how far down the Gen Z era problem road I go.
Yeah.
Because they are going to be, you know, changing my incontinence pants and giving me personal bed care like later on. So, because obviously you can't rely on your children to do that.
No.
Okay. So
you shouldn't.
Ageism. I've got some interesting things that are going on here. Ooh, we've got a bit of a shit show going on with politics.
So the norm.
Funny thing is happening here. The Irish are sending migrants back to the UK.
Okay, which migrants? Are we talking about like British people are getting sent back?
No.
Oh, that'd be more fun.
No, there's... they are sending... I mean, migrants... I'm doing air quotes here, but migrants being the term where we're really talking about refugees.
Okay.
Which, you know, migrant is the kind of, it's the equivalent of like woke and how woke has like turned into a negative connotation. Migrant is now like a negative thing. But these are people who have come to the UK to start a new life, mainly because they speak English. The Rwanda bill has finally passed the obstacles here. It's going for royal assent. So that is happening and flights are due to start in July.
Have they talked to the people in Rwanda about this though?
They're in it for the money, from what I can tell.
Okay, all right, cool. $1 million a person, so, cool. Let's do it.
Yeah. And it is about that. But the UK government is saying, you see, it's a deterrent. The deterrent is working because people are saying, well, we're not going to stay in the UK. We're going to go to Ireland. And so because there's free movement between Great Britain and Northern Ireland, because we're the same country, and there's also free movement between the UK and the Republic of Ireland, because that's been a travel arrangement for decades and decades, and it's part of the peace deal, people can move freely from Northern Ireland to the Republic. So what the right wing of Ireland are doing, because they exist there too, is saying, Ireland's full, we can't afford it, send them back. So the Irish government are saying, well, we'll just send them back to Britain. That's where they came from. So it's all very meta and very confusing, but I find it quite hilarious that a country like Ireland is saying, let's get these people back.
Okay, so basically they're saying, we don't want all these brown people here, send them back to where they came from, which is UK, you figure it out.
Which is the UK.
Yeah, okay. Huh, interesting.
And the UK is saying, well, hang on a second, we'll send them back from where they came from, France.
You know what? This is what happens when you start colonizing places. They start showing up at some point. Duh.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. You know, but we've been down this road before, but I thought that was quite interesting. And the other thing that's been quite interesting this week is old Rishi, little old Rishi, is playing games with the British population, with the British electorate.
Okay.
We were sort of alluded, it was kind of alluded to that the election would be called on Monday.
Okay.
And the thing, remember that the British Prime Minister decides when to call an election, right? So he's already said for ages, it's going to happen in the second half of the year.
Okay.
There has to be like 6 weeks between calling an election and having the election. There's a set of local elections here on Thursday. The big prediction is that the Conservatives are going to lose massively. And that if that happens, then there might be a leadership challenge to Rishi Sunak and we might have the 45th Prime Minister in 6 years here. So he's going to like burn the house down and say, well, I'll call in an election. So to get ahead of the news story and to not let it be suggested that he was doing that just because he lost, the idea was that he would be calling an election on Monday and that he was going to see the king and the king was going to agree to dissolve parliament because that's the procedure. Well, it turns out that the First Minister of Scotland, the leader of the Scottish government, chucked out his Green coalition partners and they kicked off and threw a vote of no confidence. he couldn't get the votes for that, and so he's resigned. So he resigned on Monday. That's kind of pissed all over Rishi Sunak's bonfire there. Okay. And they obviously decided not to call it on Monday. I was therefore waiting for today, but apparently the king is back from cancer treatment and is doing public engagement. So the king's busy today. Yeah. The king can't like dissolve parliament today. He's busy. So we wait and we wait and we wait. But I'm bored of waiting, Felicia. I'm bored of waiting.
You're ready to go vote?
I am ready to get my photo ID, which is now required, everyone. Ooh. Just in case you are listening, remember you need to bring photo ID
and
now.
Papers.
Because remember, those young people, they don't have photo ID. Those poor people, they can't afford passports and photo ID. You know, young people and poor people tend to vote for Labour. Mm. It's definitely not about voter suppression, obviously, but you must bring your photo ID. So okay. I am ready with my photo ID to walk down to that polling booth and cast my vote.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll see whenever they call it. He'll probably call it like a day before, like, oh, by the way, I need you guys to go vote tomorrow.
That's kind of it. I'm just going to check my health app because I felt that was quite ranty what I did there. And I'm worried that that's going to have like blown up my phone. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go and listen to previous exercises, previous episodes. I've stuck with the app. Oh, there we go. It says I'm under strain.
You're under strain.
Stress 97%.
Oh, okay. There we go. Well, I mean,
okay, I'll calm down now.
Okay,
tell me what's going on.
Well, I mean, it's not going to be any better because okay, so I know that you've mentioned over the past few weeks, years of us doing this show about being in multiple Cold Wars, and we talked about China and Russia and everything like that. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to go read one of these political books. For those of you, you can go follow both of us on Goodreads and see what we're reading. And so I picked up this book called The New Cold Wars. It's China's Rise, Russia's Invasion, and America's Struggle to Defend the West. And so this is a guy who has been embedded with these presidents for the last few years or whatever. And all I have to say is everything that's going on politically, I'm going to sound so like a conspiracy theorist, Paul, is all a distraction.
Man, bring it on. Come on.
Everything.
Come on. I love it already.
All this other stuff is such a distraction because goodness. I mean, I guess you just don't know what's going on in these little quiet rooms with all of these political leaders. Man, we are not doing well. I didn't realize that. I mean, oh gosh, I keep up with stuff, but I don't keep up with all the little bits and pieces that all tie into everything. Like, I didn't realize Russia did numerous cyber attacks before they invaded Ukraine. And even the politicians here, like some were, I think it was like Blinken, like he said he told everybody like something's going to happen. We don't know what's happening. He said it is about to happen. And people were like, oh, whatever. And then, you know, and all the leaders, I got they got together. Like even Europe was like, oh, he won't do that. He's never going to do that, you know. And then next thing you know, there goes Putin doing his thing. And and basically is talking about, I'm still early in the book, but basically Putin is back at Peter the Great type stuff. That's where his inspiration is coming from. And he's like, well, you know, on this treaty in 1854, you said that this piece of land was mine. I'm here. I'm ready for it. And then at the same time, we have China. And how China was like, oh, nobody took them serious until they showed up and like, oh, we're dominating everything. And I did learn China was operating secret police forces here in the United States. So people who were of Chinese descent, either coming here to purchase things, buy things, work for things that they bought, you know, China bought here, like farms and stuff. They had these secret police monitoring these people. And then they got convicted, supposedly got kicked out of the country, but I didn't know it was that deep. I don't know the people who do are professional politicians outside of the presidents and stuff, but the people who actually get things done, I see why liquor has never gone out of style because you need to have brown liquor every day with all this stuff.
how much? I was quite fascinated by espionage and the official secrets and what is actually known and what they keep from us. Are you getting a sense in this book that there is a lot that's being kept from us and that we just don't know the half of it, and that that's on purpose because it would be too frightening?
I think...
How does he know?
Well, this guy, because he... I mean, of course, he's writing this book years later, but he's in the room with these people. His name is... And I don't know if he's considered a journalist, but I think you have... David Sanger. So he was on the boat with George Bush, Condoleezza Rice, and Putin on a yacht, you know, just, you know, kikiing, haha.
When they were friends.
Yeah. And the guy who was the chef was the guy who tried to overthrow Putin last year. The general. That was the chef. Some guy who got out of prison and, you know, it didn't work out well for him. I don't know. I do think they are keeping things from us because it's too... I don't think we would understand most of it because they would have to give so much backstory as to what is happening. Some of it is probably a little bit scary, but I think some of it's just that we wouldn't be able to put the pieces together until like something really bad happening, you know, with Russia and China doing all these cyber attacks. I mean, so all these cyber attacks are basically Russia and or China. And then Russia, you know, Putin does this thing like he told,
Xi Jinping.
Yeah. We are not going to, we're not going to do anything during the Olympics. Ha ha ha. They turn into Ukraine in the Olympics. And then of course it didn't go the way they thought it, cause they thought it was easy. We're going to go in and it is fascinating because I've never read one of these types of books, and it just makes you realize that there is so much more going on. And of course, I mean, this was during I think he was with Clinton up through some of Trump, but I mean, you get all this stuff later. So it kind of does allude to where we are with TikTok and why that is such a bone of contention. And they were hoping that Hillary Clinton was going to win after Obama. So they were putting things in place. And of course, you know, that didn't happen. Basically he said with the chaos that Donald Trump brought, a lot of things just got pushed to the wayside. And so you got the powers that be that are out there. So any of you want to read this book, it's called The New Cold Wars. And I think you're right. You're absolutely right. Cause you are always saying World War III is not going to be fought the way we thought it would be, you know, like, because what we know is World War I and World War II, whereas we're all going to be bits and pieces in all of these countries. Cyber, that is the way. Cyber, data, and AI is going to be how we're destroyed. And they're going to come after us, the little people, first. Then they're going to make these big invasions. So it's a lot to take in.
Okay, I need to ask you a question about that particular point then. So when you say they're going to come after us, the little people first, does that mean like sowing discontent within the population?
Yes. So first? A lot of things that we saw with the 2016 election, election of Trump, you know, attacking through social media. But one of the cyber attacks that they actually did in Ukraine was stopping people from being able to run payments. So if you went to a bakery, you couldn't use your credit card. And all of like the Microsoft was like telling Ukraine, put your stuff in the cloud so we could back you up. And Ukraine was like, he ain't gonna do nothing for real. And then there you go. You got what you got.
You see, we were told, I think, by important people, the next, you know, warfare would become cyber, or would focus on cyber. And I think, you know, some of us took that seriously, and, you know, I can understand that. I can understand the threat there, because if you do a cyber attack on a country's infrastructure and the electricity grid goes down, clearly that's a problem. That is neater than, when I say neater, I mean like less messy than throwing bombs. However, on the other hand, look at what is happening in Ukraine.
Yeah.
They are literally bombs everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so the cyber approach clearly hasn't worked to the extent or to the cleanliness that, that someone
I think
like
it's
Russia
just an intro. I mean, it's almost like a little, all right, Paul, I'm just going to keep doing this to you. You can choose to ignore me because when I come, I'm coming. And we also have to remember that when they're doing all this stuff, I mean, these are still countries that are loaded up with weapons. So if you got some weapons, you're going to use them at some point. I was just giving you some casually nice, you know, not so aggressive warnings that I'm coming. And the other thing that I got from this, that I'm getting from the book so far, so I'm still in the middle of reading it, is we are in these very precarious situations where we are still doing business with all these countries.
Right.
We are still doing business.
I find that bizarre, but...
We're still doing business with them, but we are low-key being shady, you know. It's kind of like me, like, Paul, I'm really not feeling you right now, but I need you to get my money. Like, you know, and we have this little agreement that I keep paying you for this, you pay me for this, but I'm going to call you shady and all kinds of things. I don't know. It's just a weird little, it's very strange. And I do feel like we're just us little people. We're just kind of casualties in whatever's going on in this global scale.
Well, the payment thing's interesting because what's actually happening with the payment thing is it's a bit like you saying that you really hate me and that you never, ever want to do business with me. And, you know, you never want to speak to me and I'm just evil and horrible and like, don't even talk to me, get out of my life. Mm-hmm. And it's not that you're secretly giving me money. It's that you're giving a mutual friend of ours money to pass on to me, and I'm giving our mutual friend the goods to pass back to you.
Yes.
Right? Because I'm not dealing with you. I'm dealing with the friend, right?
But yeah.
It's like intermediary shit, like via like Kazakhstan and stuff.
Yeah, you have that. But then at the same time, it's like, oh, you're about to lose your house. I'm going to send you some money anyway. Still hate you. Oh, but you know what? But I like your kids.
I can't let you completely collapse.
Well, it's like, I like your kids. I'm still going to, you know, send my little $300 every week because I love the kids. Screw you. I don't like you, but I'm doing it for the kids. Yeah. So it's, man, guys, I will say this. Stay ignorantly blissful. Do not read one of these books. I've been on my social justice kick. I've been doing that. So I decided to go more real, you know, what's going on now. Man, stay ignorant. Stay ignorantly blissful. Go and enjoy life because, yeah, you can't unhear, unread, and unknow this stuff once you know it. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Do you know what, though? Like, you're right, what you said at the beginning. It does kind of... you can see how people do get into conspiracy theories by finding out something that is essentially the truth, because you can't quite believe that something like that happens. And so your imagination then runs away with you as if to say, well, if that's happening, what else is happening?
Well, is that, and then the fact that these people all invite each other to each other's homes and stuff, or they get like mad because they sent, it was during the Obama administration, they sent Biden to go and do something, a little program with Putin, but he was like, okay, you send somebody not on my level, so I'm not going to play with you. And then also tried to get on the same page with the fight against terrorism, but everybody had a different version of terrorism. You know, they wanted to get rid of Chechens. They were like, oh, so if you help us terrorists, yes, let's get rid of these people. And then you won't pay attention to all this other stuff. You know, same thing with China. They got, you know, the Uyghurs or whatever. So, and, you know, of course, the United States was like, no, we're talking about this. And they were like, oh, I talk about this. So, oh, so no, we ain't going to do this then. So stay ignorant, y'all. Go to the beach, you know, stay on TikTok because you're not going to know what's going on. So
you say stay on TikTok, but according to what you've just said, that's like low key feeding people information about like the government, what to do, how to vote.
Yeah,
the interference in elections is happening.
It is real.
It is very real. And I know that they're fighting very hard this year, these platforms. They're under the cosh a little bit in terms of what are they doing about it and how are they protecting it. And look, I run ads on these platforms, mm-hmm. right? And the restrictions now about what you can say and what you can't say and what you have to declare, and is this content geared towards elections? And if so, that how are you declaring it and this, that, and the other? And you do all of this work, but you know deep down a foreign agent has got someone, like some kind of genius, to betray yeah. their country and through money, because of money and payment, right?
Yeah.
To create something very clever that bypasses all of it, or is very subtle in its messaging about what it is
yeah.
and what people want.
Yeah. I mean, I've just discovered, and I guess we definitely can segue into the purchasing of votes. I just saw an interview where even people in the Biden administration are paying people on OnlyFans to say certain things about whatever to garner more votes. And
hang on. Like when they're like taking their clothes off, vote for Biden.
Who knows? I mean, I didn't see what they were doing, but there were people who were just admitting that they have been paid money under campaigns or other companies to sell stuff. But, you know, cause we're supposed to, give a warning that we are selling something from an affiliate, and a lot of these yeah. companies, campaigns are just saying, no, don't say anything. So that's kind of a slight little battle that's going on. But that also means that, I mean, the politicians these days, they are covering all of their bases. You know, before we would lead the people on the wayward side out when it comes to voting. Now we got strippers campaigning. We got people on OnlyFans. I mean, and they can't campaign. I mean, they're people, they're citizens, they pay taxes too. So, you know, they're trying to get their voice in front of the folks. And it's going to be fascinating how much more we're going to discover, how much these campaigns, it doesn't matter who it is, how much they're willing to spend the money to get influencers or people to go and talk about voting for them. And the other side, I've noticed this, and I don't know what's going on in the UK when it comes to getting the younger people. Like, Biden is not doing great with his sales pitch to young people because of Israel. It kind of makes sense because, right, you know, Biden, the US just sold $18 billion worth of weapons to Israel, but at the same time telling Israel to be careful with your targeting. That's the wording that they're using. Be more selective with your targeting. And Israel's like, okay, you know, press the button and everybody's just dead.
Yeah.
And the kids are mad. I mean, they've cut 15 universities, quite a few Ivy League schools. They have shut them down. They have canceled speakers, valedictorians. The kids just occupied Columbia University. They called in the police, all kinds of things, because they are just like, no, we want you. They want their schools to divest from Israel. And it's just not going well which could change big time the election for Biden, maybe.
So they not, presumably they're turning to things like OnlyFans because that's where the audience is. I mean, this is marketing 101, really. You look at where your target audience is, where they're paying attention to, and you go there. And there are a lot of people using OnlyFans.
There is something, and I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and I was reading one of my other books that I shouldn't have read about, you know, this getting me out of my ignorant bliss of life. I was asking Dustin, I was like, what is going on? You know, why is the Second Amendment so big here in the United States? And Dustin was like, you still have to remember the largest voting bloc here in the United States are still white men. And they are kind of the game changers, and you still have to talk to them because they make things move when it comes to voting. And most women, unfortunately, still vote like their dads or husbands, whatever they tell them to do. And so I'm starting to see that, you know, maybe that's where they are going to OnlyFans, because that's where their audience is. Same with I've noticed, like, Trump is all, he has definitely bought the black male vote. And I saw a lot of strippers in the strip clubs in Atlanta talking about campaigning and things. So I guess this is how you get in front of your audience these days. I don't know.
It must be. I have to say, as someone who's been to the States many times, this feels very American.
Yes.
It doesn't feel very British
That you know of.
You know, we'll wait and see what happens. Yeah, well, exactly. I'd be quite interested to see what people are doing. We're still getting leaflets through the door to say vote for this person. So I don't know whether they'll go to OnlyFans, well, but I might have to pay attention.
I would assume they're doing all of it. They're still going to go after the very, people who are on the straight and narrow type folks. And then you're going to go after your fringe people. And I will say Obama was definitely one of those who started that, you know, getting people out to know their rights to vote, which everybody should go out and vote. And Stacey Abrams and everybody's gone into like the people out in the rural areas everywhere saying you have a right to vote, get out and vote. And with that, that means you got to get in front of the people wherever they are and tell them why they need to vote for you or whatever. Mm. So we are definitely buying the votes. And I don't know. Now, the only way I think Biden is going to be able to get young people, he needs to pay off student loans.
Is that achievable?
No. Oh. For some people, some things have slowly gone through, but he needs to like get rid of student loans or something. And I think he'll get a lot more voters. But right now, it's looking pretty dicey for him, and the young folks are not feeling him at all.
It feels a lot tighter there. I think one of the problems here is that everyone is just expecting the current government to be absolutely annihilated. Now, you know, 8 years ago, I'd have said we'd never have left the European Union. But, you know, look what happened there. So never, never say never. But I don't know anyone who isn't saying the UK government as it stands after 14 years in power has completely run out of ideas. They do not know what they're doing. There was a minister on a political program this week who didn't know that Congo was a different country to Rwanda. It's kind of basic, really.
Yes, different names. Yeah.
Different names, but you know. Kind of basic. So I think maybe that's the reason why we're not expecting like extreme politics during this election. Like we will see, and it will be interesting to know and to see like what happens. But I just wish they'd get on and call the damn thing, and then we can see what happens.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of us have sat here, and you know, over the last few years, it has been said, you know, we're assuming this won't happen. We've done a lot of assumptions. That's not going to happen. We're just waiting and seeing. And we have been on the everybody fucked around. And now we are finding out that some people are just like, oh, y'all didn't think we were going to do this? Okay, cool. And so I don't put anything beyond anybody nowadays. So if you are going to go vote, please go vote. Don't assume. Don't assume anything. Because
your vote counts. Your vote matters.
Yes.
Everyone should go and register to vote today. When's the deadline there for registering to vote for the national election in November?
Voting for a presidential election is usually like 3 days before.
Okay. Yeah. Here, it's like, depending on when the election is, there's a time limit to when you can do it. So people in the UK, if you're not registered to vote, please go and register to vote. It's very, very simple. You just go to gov.uk and search register to vote, because absolutely, and you got to listen to your Auntie Felicia here, your vote matters. Don't assume what you want. Other people may not vote for what you want. So you can have your say if you vote.
Because y'all, we are all part of the Netflix documentary. You just don't know it.
You don't. Okay, that seems a good point to round up with some very passionate, you know, message to go and register to vote here. If I find it, and if I can be bothered in the show notes, I'll even put a link to where you can do that in the show notes.
Here in the United States, you got to go to your different states, so it's not worth it.
Oh, really? Oh, it's so complicated.
I mean, yeah, you can go. You can go. I'll send you the link. We can put it in the show notes, but you can go register to vote.
All right. Okay, so go register to vote. Everyone have a great week. Hopefully by this time next week, we shall have election coverage. Ooh. I need to go and find some kind of like jingle or something that we can talk about it. Because, you know, we haven't had an election since starting this show. And if we're not careful, we'll have had two US elections before we even had one.
But you had people got kicked out. You didn't have an election. Sorry. Yep.
Yes. No. Remember, we're an authoritarian state over yeah. here. So, you know, we await to see where the democracy is.
Okay.
But we'll see. All right. Take care. Enjoy. Oh, it wasn't Bryce Canyon. Where was it again?
Lone Rock Beach. So Glen Canyon.
Lone Rock Beach. Enjoy the beautiful landscape that is there. It is. We'll see you next time.
See ya.